This is Audible.
Mr. Tonight, written by Kendall Ryan, narrated by Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. Chapter 1. Kate.
I need to get laid tonight.
Jesse laughed while Rebecca handed out a round of tequila shots. I tossed back the shot, screwed my face up, and stuck my tongue out, trying not to cough.
It's so bad, I said on a groan, the liquor burning my throat.
Here, Jesse shoved a lime wedge into my mouth. After our second, or was it the third, round of tequila shots, I had pretty much confirmed that I was no better at downing them now than I had been in college. And yes, I knew that I was probably too old to drink tequila shots, but I was determined to reclaim part of my youth with my two best friends before I officially turned 30 at midnight.
Happy birthday, Kate,
Rebecca said, handing me a Corona this time.
Cheers to being 30,
Jesse grinned as we clinked bottles.
30 and homeless, I added, taking a large swig.
Jesse shook her head.
You're not homeless. You just don't have anywhere to live.
Rebecca and I laughed, used to her constant optimism. My roommate had just gotten engaged, and a couple of weeks ago she'd sat me down to tell me I was being evicted. My stomach sank as I thought about our conversation. Apparently, she and her new fiancé didn't want me third-wheeling all the time, which was understandable, but it didn't make me any less upset to have to move out of my rent-controlled apartment that was just down the street from my favorite coffee shop and frozen yogurt shop.
You know what they say. Location, location, location.
How's the search? Rebecca asked, shoving a lime wedge into her beer.
I put a deposit down on an apartment this week, I said, taking a swig. I just need to go look at it tomorrow and make sure the landlord isn't a psychopath.
I found the apartment through an online ad. It seemed promising, spacious with lots of light and a nice little nook where I could set up an office. I wrote a successful weekly gossip column, and since I worked from home, a comfortable place to write was an important part of my living space.
Enough adult stuff,
Jessie put her arm around my shoulders. We're here to celebrate.
One more beer, and I'll officially be drunk, Rebecca said, scanning the bar. Which means we should find you a guy now before the beer goggles set in.
Rebecca, Jessie, and I had all been roommates in college. Jesse was a serial monogamist who had gotten married when we were 24, and Rebecca had married her long-term boyfriend last year. Ever since they'd said, I do, they'd tried to set me up with basically every available guy in a 50-mile radius. I didn't mind the setups as long as the guy wasn't expecting to get into something serious. I liked my life the way it was and lived by my personal motto, don't mess with a good thing. Besides, after watching my sister go through a very messy divorce with the man who was supposed to be the love of her life, I wasn't exactly in a rush to settle down. I looked around the bar. There were plenty of guys, but nobody who excited me. I needed to find someone who was looking for the same thing as me. Fun, casual sex. No strings attached. I was on the verge of giving up when I saw him. My breath caught in my throat, and my heart did a little jump for joy. He was leaning against the bar, casually sipping a beer. He looked like he was in his late 30s, and trust me when I say he was the total package. Tall, with short, dark hair and a killer smile. He wore a perfectly tailored suit, like he'd just come from the office. I was a huge sucker for a guy in a nice suit, and based on the way it fit, I had a feeling he'd look even better without it on. He laughed, revealing a perfect jawline and cheekbones that belonged on a GQ cover model. I swallowed, a little shiver running down my spine as I imagined him wrapping those firm biceps around me. He was the hottest man I'd ever seen, and he looked like he'd fit in better on the cover of a magazine than he did drinking a Heineken in a bar called Bucky's. I bit my lip, unable to stop myself from imagining climbing on top of him and celebrating my birthday by riding his...
Kate, hello?
Rebecca waved a hand in front of my face. I'd been practically drooling over Mr. Perfect, totally forgetting that my friends were there.
Sorry, I laughed, nudging my head in his direction. I think I found my mister tonight. But don't look at the same Before I could get that sentence out, both Jesse and Rebecca were craning their necks to get a look at him. I mentally slapped my palm on my forehead, hoping he hadn't noticed them staring right at him. Oh, he's hot, Rebecca whispered, turning back. And he has this thing about him. She was right. He had a vibe, a raw sexual appeal that practically pulsed in the air between us. If that thing is a large bulge in his pants, then yes, Jesse added. Rebecca nodded. Well, he is really tall. I'm thinking things might be proportional. I think he just smiled at us, Jesse said, grinning. Is he out of my league? I sneaked a quick glance. He was definitely looking in our direction. Shit. You're gorgeous, Rebecca said earnestly. He'd be lucky to date you. I shook my head. Not date, just birthday sex. I'm looking for a mister tonight, not a mister forever. But seriously, look at him. Fuck. The things I would do to him if I wasn't married. Jesse bit her lip. Exactly. He's like a 12 out of 10, and I'm... I looked down at my outfit, a black cocktail dress that only barely concealed my curves. I wasn't fat. I was pleasantly plump, curvy, ample, sturdy, if you will. But yeah, you could tell I liked French fries, and that I liked to dip those fries in ranch dressing. Rebecca pressed her hand on the small of my back, nudging me out of my introspection. You're a total babe. Just go over there and say hi, Jesse said, taking my empty beer and giving me a little shove. Normally, I'd be too shy to approach a guy that jaw-droppingly handsome, but the last tequila shot we'd taken had apparently obliterated all my common sense, as well as my verbal filter. It was my birthday, and I'd be damned if I didn't at least get a hot makeout session. I hadn't shaved my legs and squeezed my butt into a too-tight dress for nothing. I gave myself a mini pep talk and was ready to walk over to him when I realized he wasn't there anymore. Fuck. Had I missed my chance? My heart sank.
Excuse me,
a deep voice said from behind me. I turned and felt myself flush. He was standing there, all 6+ feet of him, and he was smiling at me.
I'm Hunter, he said, holding out a hand. I figured instead of trying to make eye contact through a crowd of people, I should just introduce myself.
He was sexy, funny, and straightforward. I was in full swoon. I slid my hand into his. I'm Kate. Not one to be shy, I looked straight into his warm brown eyes, electricity running through my body from his touch. He had big, strong hands and a firm grip. I was having a hard time shaking off the image of what those big hands could do when I realized he was speaking to me.
Can I get you a drink?
Of course. I smiled seductively, almost not believing it was working out so well. I must have had some majorly good karma to land this guy. Before he turned to order, his gaze slid over my curves, taking in my little black dress that left very little to the imagination. Did they turn off the air conditioning? Heat rushed from my cheeks down to my chest and settled between my legs.
What are you drinking?
He asked. His full lips and movie star smile made everything he said sound dirty. Whatever's fine, I said, trying to keep my cool. Just not tequila.
I noticed you taking a shot earlier. I don't think I've ever seen someone make a face like that before.
He smirked, and I put my hand on my hip in mock offense. Are you always this complimentary to women you meet at bars?
I guess that's the reason why I'm still single.
He grinned, signaling to the bartender. I laughed, wondering how it was possible that this guy was single. After a minute, he turned back with 2 martinis.
So, what's the occasion?
He held up his glass in a toast. It's my 30th birthday, I said, clinking my glass against his and taking a sip.
Happy birthday. So,
How does it feel to be 30?
I'll let you know at midnight, I grinned, looking him up and down. But I have a feeling it's going to feel pretty damn amazing.
Jesus, Kate. This was why I shouldn't drink tequila. I lost all my inhibitions. I was afraid I'd come off too strong, but Hunter didn't seem to mind. He was watching me closely with a sexy, deep stare, his gaze occasionally dropping to my lips as he spoke.
What had he just asked me? Oh, yeah, he'd asked if I had any interesting hobbies.
I sucked in a breath and smiled.
Yes, actually, I love to cook.
What a coincidence. I love to eat.
Chuckling, I shook my head.
You do understand your pickup lines are awful, right?
He grinned at me, an amazing mega-white smile that said he was both amused by me and not the least bit bothered that I was poking fun at him.
I'm actually glad we bumped into each other tonight. I mean, your game needs a lot of work, I added.
And you're offering to help?
His eyes crinkled at the corners. I pursed my lips, looking him over.
Depends. What's in it for me?
The satisfaction of knowing I won't be out there somewhere inflicting horrible pickup lines on some unsuspecting girl.
I shrugged.
Fair enough.
He took another sip of his drink, watching me over the rim of the glass.
Where do we begin?
I tapped my finger against the side of my glass, appraising him coolly.
You're going to need a lot of work.
His mouth twitched in amusement.
Clearly.
After setting my glass on the bar, I turned to fully face him. It was like being smacked across the face with a GQ magazine. I swallowed.
Let's start with...
My gaze locked mischievously on his.
What's really on your mind right now?
Hunter didn't answer right away. His gaze dipped again, ghosting over my cleavage and then my lips before returning slowly to my eyes.
I want to know how a woman like you could possibly still be single at 30. And I want to know if you taste as sweet as you look.
My cheeks grew warm. Okay, then. Maybe he did have some game.
Is that all?
I asked, slightly breathless.
I want to know the noises you make in bed, and other really inappropriate things you're not supposed to talk about the first time you meet someone.
I see, was all I could manage. Hunter leaned a little closer, our knees touching beneath the bar.
Does that let you know where my head's at right now, and which areas I'll need the most help with?
You could practically cut through the attraction buzzing between us with a knife. It was definitely too warm in here, and my insides felt all melty. In a good way, not in the I'm going to toss my cookies kind of way.
Very much so. I took another sip of my drink before returning it to the bar. Time to move to a safer topic.
So the martinis, the suit. I gestured at his outfit, trying to keep my mind on the conversation and off of Hunter's package.
Are you some kind of high-powered businessman?
Not exactly.
He gave another low, sexy laugh, rubbing a hand on the back of his neck.
I'm a civil engineer for the city. You know, building projects and public transit. Really exciting stuff,
he added sarcastically. I smiled, relieved he wasn't a business exec. I'd slept with enough of those to last a lifetime. Dry and boring, and about as exciting as a baked potato.
No, I think it's great.
Most women tune me out as soon as I say public transit.
Well, I'm not most women,
I said with a smirk, looking into his eyes again.
I can see that.
He held my gaze for a moment before taking another sip of his martini. Normally, I was so confident and relaxed, but this man... He was on a whole other level of sexy.
I have to admit, he said as he leaned in closer. I just ordered the martinis to impress you. I'm usually a beer guy.
I tried to keep my jaw from dropping. He was trying to impress me? I hadn't expected that.
So what do you do?
He asked, interrupting my thoughts.
I write a gossip column.
Usually guys shut down when I say that, thinking it was a fluff job or a hobby. But Hunter nodded with interest, listening to my every word.
and the sexual tension between us was crackling like a low fire, just waiting to be stoked back to life again.
That's way more interesting than my job. How did you get into that?
I shrugged. I've always loved writing. I didn't necessarily picture myself writing about celebrities, but a friend of mine had an in for this job, and I was sort of a natural, so I kept doing it.
That sounds fun.
You'd be surprised. I set my empty glass on the bar. It's a lot of sitting alone in my apartment in sweatpants, researching stories. But don't get me wrong, I love what I do. The conversation flowed easily between us, and as we sat there talking and flirting and laughing for another hour, I realized I hadn't had this much fun in a long time. His eyes were a hypnotic shade somewhere between coffee and cognac, and it was refreshing to talk to a man who was so easygoing, and who actually seemed to be interested in what I had to say and not what I could do for him. This much of a connection really wasn't necessary, as I was only looking for a good time, not a lifetime partner. But still, it was nice. He finished the last of his martini.
Should we get another round?
Before I could answer, someone bumped me from behind, and I put a hand on Hunter's chest to steady myself. Beneath his shirt, he was hard and muscular. He definitely wasn't skimping at the gym. I swallowed, tempted to grip his shirt in my hand and pull him toward me. Instead, I stepped away, mentally composing myself. I usually didn't get tripped up this easily by a guy, but there was something about him that had my heart fluttering like a teenager. I didn't want another drink. I wanted Hunter. Plus, I was worried one more round with him would push me from being adorably tipsy to embarrassingly drunk.
Maybe we could just get out of here, I said slyly.
He seemed caught off guard for a second, but quickly composed himself.
We could also do that.
Nervous and excited, I told Hunter I'd meet him out front, and went to find Jesse and Rebecca. They were huddled in a corner of the bar and had obviously been watching the whole thing.
He looked super into you, Jesse said enthusiastically as I walked up.
We're going to his place, I grinned. At least, I hoped we were, because I was sort of homeless at the moment, and I was fairly certain that hooking up on your ex-roommate's couch was frowned upon.
You go, girl.
Rebecca gave my butt a little slap. I pulled them into a quick group hug. Love you guys.
Tell us everything tomorrow, Jesse said, shooing me toward the door.
Hunter was out front, waiting with a cab. He opened the door for me and I climbed in, thinking I'd never met someone this hot who also had manners. I was way too aware of how close we were as we sat in the back of the cab, tension building with the unspoken agenda that was playing out right in front of us. Unable to stop myself, I scooted next to him, my body resting closely against his. His hard chest pressed against my shoulder, and I inhaled sharply as he put an arm around me. My body reacted instantly, my lady parts firing on all cylinders. He ran his fingers along my shoulder and down my arm. Such an innocent touch, yet it held the promise of so much more to come. My hand gently stroked his oh-so-very muscular thigh, my gaze slipping over the rest of him as I did. If the bulge in his pants was any indication, he was very well endowed. I swallowed, suddenly lightheaded from how much I wanted him. The liquid courage I'd consumed earlier was in full effect. If he could make me feel like this, fully clothed in a cab, I couldn't help but wonder what he could do in the bedroom. It was a short ride, but by the time we pulled up to Hunter's two-story colonial, I didn't think I could wait any longer. He pulled out his keys at the front door and paused.
I should probably warn you. I have to pay the babysitter.
The babysitter? My mind, a little fuzzy from all the tequila shots, wasn't catching on. Was this some weird sex fetish?
I have a daughter, he said, seeming nervous. Is that okay?
Normally, I wasn't much of a kid person, but I was drunk and had been picturing Hunter naked for the past 2 hours, so I wasn't about to make a fuss about any offspring he might have. Of course, that's fine with me, I said quickly, and he let out a sigh of relief. We stepped inside, and I peeked around while he paid the sitter. There were pictures of him with a small, dark-haired girl. I briefly wondered about her mother.
I wasn't here to get his life story, though. I was here to cash in on a tradition called birthday sex. When the babysitter glanced at me as I was looking at the photos, I did my best to seem like I belonged here, and that Hunter and I weren't about to have a super classy, drunken one-night stand. After speaking quietly with Hunter for a couple of minutes, she finally left. He pulled off his suit jacket, his well-defined chest and biceps straining against the fabric of his shirt. I walked toward him, more than ready to start my birthday off with a bang. If this was how I was ringing in my 30th birthday, it was about to be the start of a very good year.
Chapter 2. Hunter. Maybe it was the music. Maybe it was the fact I'd barely eaten dinner, on top of drinking, when I never drank much to begin with. Or maybe I'd just been a little pent up after a 6-month dry spell spent having tea parties and braiding my 4-year-old daughter's hair. Whatever the reason, there was only one thought running through my mind the first time I laid eyes on Kate from across the bar. I want her. And once I saw her in that skin-tight dress doing a horrible job of pretending to not be checking me out, I got all kinds of ideas about how to expend that pin-up energy. And now we were here, standing in my living room, surrounded by photos of my daughter, which was pretty much the exact opposite of an aphrodisiac. When we'd climbed out of the cab, I'd realized that the topic of my daughter never came up in our bar banter, and that we were about to be confronted with the babysitter. There really wasn't any way around it. Casual flings didn't tend to handle the whole single dad thing well. Single moms, on the other hand, fucking loved it. The idea of a man devoted to his kid had them panting for days. But casual, no-string hookups? To them, me being a dad screamed one of two things. I was either an irresponsible asshole who couldn't properly wrap it up, or I was a total commitment addict trying to lure them in with my adorable 4-year-old child in need of a new mama. Either way, it usually didn't go over well. But so far, Kate was handling it fine. Then she crossed the room toward me, and a single thought pervaded my brain. Fuck, she's sexy. All those curves and her throaty laugh, coupled with her confidence, I was a total sucker for a confident woman who knew what she wanted. Happy birthday, I whispered, placing my hands on her waist and drawing her in close. Just because this would most likely be a one-time thing didn't mean I wanted to rush through it. Quite the opposite, actually. I wanted to savor and enjoy every minute of this, starting with the perfect kiss. It's almost midnight, she murmured, her lips just inches from mine. Placing one hand on her cheek, I guided her mouth to mine, sealing my lips over hers in a slow, soft kiss. She responded perfectly, opening her mouth in a silent invitation for my tongue to slide against hers. My hands found those curves wrapped under that black fuck-me dress I'd been admiring, and God, she felt even better under my palms than I could have imagined. Soft and warm, and so inviting. I pressed one more slow kiss to her lips and pulled back to study her reaction. I rarely did this kind of thing. Having her here was surreal, and really fucking turning me on knowing what was probably about to happen. Can I get you something to drink? I asked, slipping my hand around her waist. If she'd changed her mind or wanted to slow things down, I wanted her to know that was fine too. I can think of other things I'd rather be doing with my mouth, she replied, her voice low and sultry as she ran her fingertips over my chest. God, I love a woman who knows what she wants. Wordlessly, I placed my hand around the back of her neck, guiding her face to mine for another sweet kiss. She wrapped her arms around me and pressed her hips into me, lining up perfectly with my quickly growing erection. As our tongues moved more urgently together, I slowly guided her down the hallway toward the stairs. Our breathing became heavy and labored, and with each step closer to my room, my cock grew harder. I was sure she could feel it pressing into her belly as we crossed the threshold into my room. I backed Kate up against the wall, slipping my fingers under the hemline of her dress to feel the soft, warm skin of her upper thighs. She whimpered softly, and I moved my fingers to the front of her panties, my cock twitching at the feel of her heat against my hand. Pushing her panties to the side, I found her wet already and slowly slid one finger inside, causing Kate to throw her head back in pleasure, where it collided with the wall behind her with a loud thwack. "Oh, fuck, are you okay?" I paused, leaning back slightly to check and make sure she wasn't injured. She chuckled. "Yeah, I'm fine. It didn't hurt. It was just loud." Smiling, I bent down to kiss her again. As the kiss grew hotter, her tongue stroking mine, she began unbuttoning my shirt with surprising ease. Within moments, she was pulling the sleeves down over my arms and tossing the shirt to the floor. "Impressive," I murmured, moving my lips to her neck, sucking and nibbling on her skin. She tasted sweet and smelled faintly of vanilla. "Not my first rodeo," she sighed, reaching to unbuckle my belt. I smiled. "Two can play that game." Hiking her dress up over her waist, I slipped her panties off with one hand, the other returning to its previous job of pleasuring the wet silken spot between her thighs. The desire to rub and pet her until she was writhing and mewling and out of control was so powerful, I was almost shaking with it. God, it's been too long. As my hand moved between her legs, she bit her lip and let out a soft moan. Pulling at my belt, her fingers fumbled briefly over the zipper of my pants before roughly pulling them down to reveal the outline of my rock-hard cock, fully outlined by my black briefs. Her breathing became more ragged, and I knew she was ready for more. Pausing to pull her dress the rest of the way up and over her shoulders, I dropped it to the floor. Kate reached to unclasp her bra, and then it joined the rest of our clothes. Hauling her closer, I reveled in the feel of her full breasts against my chest as her fingers tugged at the waistband of my briefs. Suddenly, my need to be inside her overwhelmed me. I guided her to the bed, pushing my underwear off and the two strides it took to join her. Descending on top of her, I resumed kissing her neck, aligning my hips with hers as she widened her legs to greet me. But before I could slide my aching, eager cock against all that wet flesh I was craving, she pressed her palms into my chest, prompting me to flip over onto my back. Did I mention I like a woman who knows when to take charge? I lay down, and Kate climbed on top of me. "Is okay?" she asked. "I'm more than happy to let you ride." My hands explored, caressing her breasts. "It is my birthday, after all," she replied with a satisfied smirk. "Excellent point." I grabbed a condom from the table beside my bed, tore the package open with my teeth, and handed it to her. "You want to put that on me?" "My pleasure," she whispered, sending all kinds of chills racing down my spine. Her clever fingers made quick work of the condom. Placing one hand on her hip and the other on my swollen shaft, I guided myself into her snug pussy, the two of us moaning at the long-awaited pleasure. She felt like a fucking furnace around me. She was so hot and so sexy perched on top of me like this. We quickly found our rhythm, my hips pumping at a steady pace while she rocked above me. It was heaven, pure heaven. She felt incredible, so tight and warm and inviting. And the sexy, throaty moans she let out were destroying my stamina. It was the best sex I'd ever had with a one-night stand. Her moans grew higher pitched as I found that place inside her and stroked it again and again with my cock. Her palms flattened against my abs, and her head fell back as she lost herself in the pleasure. "That's it, sexy girl. Come on my cock," I murmured. But then I heard something. And it wasn't another of her moans. No. It was something that made me freeze, my hips stilling in mid-thrust. The creak of a floorboard in the hallway. Bare feet on the hardwood floors. And then a small voice asked, "What are you doing to my daddy?" Fuck. Standing in the open doorway was my 4-year-old daughter, Maddie, in her unicorn pajamas, her eyes wide as she clung to her favorite teddy bear. Fuck, oh my God, fuck, I'm so sorry. Kate quickly climbed off me, grabbing the nearest blanket to cover her naked body. Hey, sweetie, what are you doing up? I said in my calmest voice, frantically covering my quickly dying erection with a pillow. Kate was running around the room trying to find her clothes. Suddenly, the haphazard way we were throwing them around seemed incredibly stupid. Daddy's fine. Why don't you go wait in your room, okay? Maddie scowled but obeyed, throwing one last dirty look in Kate's direction before turning and walking back to her room. Kate didn't seem to notice, however, as she'd finally found her underwear and was getting dressed faster than I thought was humanly possible. She could have literally won the world record in getting dressed. I pushed my hands into my hair, letting out a deep sigh. Shit. Why hadn't I thought to lock the door? We must have been louder than I thought if we woke Maddie. She was normally a very sound sleeper. Listen, Kate, I'm so... Before I could finish, she ran out of the room, and 20 seconds later, I heard the front door open and slam behind her. I sighed, burying my face in my hands. Perfect. Just fucking perfect. Another casual fling ruined by being a single dad. I was used to a few bad dates every now and then, like getting a "your daughter just threw up" phone call from the babysitter, but this was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. I'd actually been caught in the act, doing the deed, bumping uglies, although there wasn't one ugly part of Kate, and I was really pissed I didn't get to see every part from every angle. It was official. My 4-year-old was a cock blocker. Sighing again, I went to my closet and pulled on some sweatpants and a t-shirt before gathering the rest of my clothes and placing them in the closet. In the bathroom, I washed my hands and checked my face in the mirror, raking my fingers through my hair so it wasn't so obvious I'd just been caught in the middle of boning a stranger by my child. Real classy. I was a dad now. I needed to be better than this, stronger, keep my priorities in check. And my priority was definitely my daughter. I opened the door to Maddie's room to find her curled up in her bed, staring at me with wide, confused eyes.
"Daddy, what was that lady doing to you?"
she asked, rubbing her eyes with her tiny hands. "Daddy and that lady were just spending some adult time together, that's all. I'll tell you more about it when you're older, okay? And when it's not in the middle of the night and you just witness something that will inevitably scar you for life." Maddie furrowed her brow but nodded, and I could already tell it was something she'd remember to ask about in the morning. I hadn't planned to even remotely have this talk with her for at least another 10 years, so I mentally reminded myself to check my parenting books to find out what's normal to tell kids her age about sex. I didn't want her to be one of those kids who still believes storks dropped babies on doorsteps when she was 15, but still... 4 seemed a little young to know everything about the birds and the bees. Seconds later, Maddie rolled over and closed her eyes. I placed a kiss on her forehead, and once I'd tucked her in, left her room to get myself ready for bed. After brushing my teeth and splashing some cold water on my face, I lay down to sleep, only to find my mind racing. I couldn't believe that things had started off so damn amazing, yet had ended up so horribly. It had been so long since my last casual fling, I couldn't even tell you if I'd ever imagined something like what happened tonight actually happening. Scratch that. I definitely never imagined that my daughter would walk in on me having hot sex with someone I hardly knew. It just figured that the one time I put myself out there, I got burned. There were reasons single dads didn't do things like that anymore. Crazy shit like this happened. Sighing, I flipped my pillow over, trying to relax and get comfortable, but I already knew I wouldn't be sleeping well that night. I couldn't stop myself from replaying that moment over and over again in my head, the complete shock of being in absolute ecstasy one moment, and the next, absolute embarrassment. And the worst part was, Kate seemed like a really cool person. Even if she wasn't the love of my life, our chemistry was hard to deny, and I wouldn't have minded making our casual hookups a regular thing. If nothing else, there was one thought that made me feel better as I unsuccessfully tried to fall asleep. At least I'll never have to see Kate again.
Chapter 3. Kate.
You're joking, right? Rebecca asked, gaping at me over her latte. I just recounted how my birthday hookup with Hunter had turned from dreamy to disastrous. I wish, I groaned, massaging my temples. Not only could I not get the image of his 4-year-old daughter's horrified face out of my head, but I had a massive tequila-induced hangover. I probably scarred that little girl for life. Is this what being 30 is like? All the guys have kids now? Rebecca put a hand over her mouth, unable to suppress a laugh. Come on, it's not funny, I said, but her laughter was infectious, and I couldn't help grinning. Okay, it's kind of funny. Or it will be once my head stops feeling like it's going to explode.
What did you do when she saw you? Rebecca asked, composing herself.
Well, after my less-than-ladylike dismount, I ran out of there as fast as I could. I shuddered at the memory, sipping my coffee. Seriously, I probably broke some kind of Guinness World Record.
At least you're getting an apartment today, she said, her tone consoling.
I nodded, glad there was an upside to this day. Thank God, I'm so sick of apartment hunting. Before this one, I'd gone to see 5 other places, and they'd all been disasters. One had no windows, and another was basically the size of my current closet. If this place didn't work out, I was going to officially be in panic mode. I glanced at my phone. Speaking of the apartment, we should probably head over. Rebecca had agreed to come with me to check out the space and meet the landlord. I'd binge-watched enough episodes of Law & Order SVU to know it wasn't a good idea to do things like this alone. 20 minutes later, we neared the address I'd read off the email from the property management company.
This is cute, Rebecca smiled as we drove through the neighborhood, pointing out a craftsman-style home with a sprawling garden. I love that everyone has a yard.
It was more suburban than what I was used to, but I didn't mind. Actually, that was a good thing as far as I was concerned. The apartment I'd picked out was above a garage, which was different, but I wasn't picky at this point. I'd heard a lot of young couples and new parents were moving to this area, which would make it a nice, quiet place for me to work. As I watched the houses go by, an uneasy feeling crept over me. I felt strange, like I'd been on this street before. Everything looked oddly familiar, which didn't make any sense because I almost never came to this area.
Do we know anyone who lives here?
I gazed out the window, having a major case of déjà vu. Rebecca shook her head.
Not that I know of. The GPS says we're really close.
She eased into a spot at the curb. As we climbed from the car, I looked around again, bothered that I couldn't figure out when I'd been here before. We walked down the block and turned the corner, and then I saw it.
It's not that house right there, is it?
I asked, a knot forming in the pit of my stomach.
Yeah, it is. Rebecca glanced at the address on her GPS. Why?
My chest constricted and my stomach dropped to my knees. I was having trouble breathing. Of course, this was just my luck. I wanted to turn and run, but my legs kept moving forward, my mind too stunned to do anything but follow Rebecca.
Kate? What's wrong?
She gave me a strange look as we stopped in front of the house.
Look, maybe we should just leave.
But before I could even finish my sentence, the front door opened. It was Hunter. Rebecca's mouth dropped open, and my heart stopped. I thought I might pass out. This place, the apartment I'd put a deposit on, belonged to Hunter. The man I had incredible birthday sex with, well, sort of, right until his daughter walked in on us, was the landlord, and I was silently freaking out. The 3 of us stood gaping at each other for what felt like an eternity, Rebecca looking from me to Hunter and back again. Thankfully, she regained her composure quickly.
Hi, she said, extending a hand to Hunter. I'm Rebecca. I'm just here to help Kate with the apartment.
Even as they shook hands, I could feel him watching me but refused to meet his eyes. How was this happening? I was way too hungover to deal with this. The property management company had only referred to him as the owner. I hadn't thought to ask for a name. So much for the good karma I'd thought I had.
I'm Hunter, he told Rebecca, releasing her hand. I took the opportunity to look him over. He was wearing jeans and a white t-shirt. His features looked even sharper in the sunlight, his jawline highlighted by his heart-melting smile. He had a sexy 5 o'clock shadow, and his dark hair was messy, like he'd pushed his hands through it. But it was his eyes that got me, deep and mocha-colored and so incredibly expressive. If he'd been bothered by the events of the night before, he was great at hiding it. In fact, he looked like he'd just walked out of a photo shoot. I tried not to think about how I looked in my laundry day black leggings and bulky sweatshirt. I'd been too hungover to shower, so I probably still smelled like alcohol. Thank God I'd thought to swipe on some mascara before I left the house. So, he said, turning back to look at me, his mouth tilted in the slightest smile. Did you want to see the apartment? Still speechless, I could only stare at him. Were we just going to pretend this wasn't a totally insane coincidence? The worst part was that despite being absolutely mortified, I found my heart was doing a little happy dance just being around him. It couldn't forget what had happened before I was forced to flee his house in shame, the part where I'd been having the most mind-blowing sex of my life. A memory flashed through my mind of his hands around my waist, pulling me against him, then his fingers gently pushing into my hair as he brought my mouth to his. I sucked in a breath. For God's sake. I gave my head a little shake, forcing myself to return to the moment. I still hadn't answered Hunter's question, but luckily Rebecca had it more together than I did. Of course we want to see the apartment. It seems great, she said, smiling like a beauty pageant contestant. Lead the way. As he walked ahead of us, Rebecca gave me a look and mouthed, "Get it together." I knew I was being totally awkward, but could she blame me? I was in a state of shock. He led us over to the garage and unlocked a side door. This will be your private entrance, he said, heading up the stairs. It's totally separate from the house, so you won't have to worry about us bothering you. He smiled at me and I flashed an uncertain smile back, still not sold. The entrance might be separate, but we'd be living only a few yards away from each other, which meant seeing each other on a daily basis. When we got to the top of the stairs, I almost forgot how much I didn't want to be there. The apartment was beautiful. It was small but well laid out and incredibly clean. There were dark wood floors and huge windows that drenched the space in sunlight. A fully equipped kitchen had a little nook in front of the bay window that would be a perfect spot for my desk. I renovated the space myself, he said, running his hand along the kitchen's granite countertop. Really? Rebecca asked. That's amazing. Do you work in construction? No, he shrugged. I'm just good with my hands, I guess. I could have told her that. Hunter could do a lot more with those hands than install wood floors. Even though I wanted to hate it and rush out, my brain cataloged all the unique details. The crystal knobs on the cabinets, the built-in shelves in the living room. He'd really taken the time to make the apartment one of a kind. I walked over to the window and let out a little gasp of excitement when I saw a small pond in the backyard. It couldn't have been more perfect. I really wanted to live here. Fuck. I'll let you two look around, he said, excusing himself. I couldn't look at him yet, so I mumbled something and nodded. How could I live here if I couldn't even look at my landlord, let alone have a conversation? Once he was safely down the stairs, I grabbed Rebecca's arm. Get me out of here, I begged. Come on, you know this is an amazing apartment, she said, pulling her arm away. I wish I could live here. Look at that pond, it's adorable, and the kitchen is perfect for you to cook in. Have you seen this little wine cabinet he put in? She walked over to it, motioning for me to follow. I nodded, not budging. I know, it's beautiful and perfect. But can we also talk about how his daughter saw my naked body bouncing on top of her very naked dad last night? Okay, yes, Rebecca said seriously, nodding. That's an issue. But memories fade, and you're never going to find another place this nice that's this affordable. I didn't want to admit it, but she was right. If I wanted to live here, I'd need to forget everything that had happened between Hunter and me. Okay, I'll think about it, I sighed,
then looked around again, already mentally planning how I'd arrange my furniture. It's going to be really hard to pass up. Just talk to Hunter about it, Rebecca said as we headed down the stairs. Maybe his daughter didn't even remember last night. I raised an eyebrow at her. I seriously doubted the little girl would forget something so traumatic, especially after seeing the way she'd reacted. She probably didn't like the idea of some new woman in the picture taking her dad away from her, and I got that, but it didn't make me feel any better about the situation. The last thing I needed was to get into some kind of turf war with a kid. Hunter was waiting for us when we stepped back outside. I'll meet you at the car, Rebecca said quickly, waving goodbye to Hunter and heading back down the sidewalk. Once Hunter and I were alone, I finally met his gaze, my heart frantically beating out of my chest. God, he was sexy. There was something about his eyes that made it impossible to look away. I swallowed, unable to shake the weird mix of embarrassment and desire. Jesus, Kate, I mentally slapped myself. Keep your pants on. So, I said, breaking the awkward silence.
Last night was...
Yeah, I smiled awkwardly. There was a beat of silence, and then we both started laughing.
Listen, we're both adults, he said, holding up his hands. If you like the place, it's yours. We can forget last night ever happened.
I really love it, I admitted. You did an amazing job on the renovations.
Thank you. Look, I need a renter, and you need an apartment. There's no reason this has to be weird, he said, smiling.
I hesitated. Does your daughter hate me? He pushed his hands through his hair and laughed, but I could tell the humor in the situation was forced. I was sure there was nothing funny about him having to explain what had happened last night when he put her back to bed.
No, she doesn't hate you. She's just not used to seeing women around.
I had a hard time believing Hunter had any trouble getting women into his bed, but in the interest of not being homeless, I decided to believe him. All right, I grinned, extending my hand. Let's do it. When he took my hand in his, my stomach flipped. A zing of electricity passed between us, almost like our bodies were remembering what we'd been doing not even 12 hours before. I knew I wasn't only agreeing to move in because it was a perfect apartment. There was something about Hunter that made it impossible to say no to him. I let go of his hand and followed him inside to fill out the paperwork, hoping I hadn't just made a huge mistake.
Chapter 4. A few days after Kate confirmed that she wanted the apartment, I was sitting in the living room with Maddie, reading the paper while she worked on assembling the latest Lego set I'd bought her. As a civil engineer, I felt it was important to buy my daughter just as many building projects as I did baby dolls. I glanced over at Maddie and couldn't help but smile at the scrunched-up, determined look on her face. She was quite the problem-solver, my little girl, and I loved to challenge her mind with different educational toys and games. And teaching her that just because some boy called her pretty didn't mean she had to share her cupcake and lots of other important life lessons. Although the conversation the other night was one I'd have preferred wait for another 20 years. How's it coming, sweetie? I asked, setting the paper down in my lap. Good, she chirped without looking up, jamming one blue Lego on top of another with a flourish. Glancing from the structure in front of her to the pile of Legos to her right, she carefully picked out a red piece and continued her slow process of deciding where to put it. I chuckled and was about to resume reading the complaints about our city's bus stops when I heard a low rumble and a loud screeching sound in front of the house. Placing the paper on our coffee table, I stood and walked over to the window to see what was going on. A mid-sized moving van was parking at the curb outside our house, and sure enough, once the van was fully parked, Kate stepped out of the driver's side door, turning to make sure she'd parked far enough over. Gotta love a woman who likes to do it herself. My heart rate kicked up at the sight of her, causing me to quickly look away and shake my head. I wasn't normally the kind of man who got aroused just by staring at women on the street, but seeing Kate again after the things we'd shared on her birthday, well, let's just say I had a hard time keeping my thoughts clean. Raking my fingers roughly through my hair, I turned to get Maddie's attention. It looks like our new neighbor is here with all her things. Should we go out to meet her and help her carry some stuff?
Our new neighbor is a girl?
Maddie asked, her voice high and excited. Yes, our new neighbor is a very nice lady. I think you'll like her a lot, I said calmly. And I pray to God you won't recognize her in broad daylight. Maddie dropped the Lego she was holding onto the floor, gleefully running to the closet to put her shoes on. As I walked over to the doorway and slipped into some sneakers, I started to panic over the slim chance that Maddie would recognize Kate and what her reaction would be. What were the chances that Maddie even saw Kate's face? Maddie hadn't talked about the incident in a couple of days, and part of me hoped there was a good chance that she'd put it out of her mind for good, or at least until she was older and in therapy. We walked out the front door to find Kate opening the back of the van, revealing stacks and stacks of cardboard boxes lined up in front of a precarious pile of furniture. At first glance, it looked like a lot of stuff for one person, but what did I know? I was sure if Maddie and I were to move anytime soon, we'd need a van at least twice the size of Kate's. By the time Maddie and I got to the curb, Kate had already begun her attempt to lift the boxes out of the van, standing up on tiptoe to reach the highest box. Her fingers just barely brushed the bottom, and no matter how far she stretched her arms, it was clear that she just wasn't able to reach the box. I stood there watching for a second longer than I should have, amused by her struggle and finding it endearing, when Kate happened to turn and see us standing there watching her. Shit. Now I look like an asshole. Hey, neighbor, need a hand? I walked over to help her, easily lifting the box off the stack and stepping back out of her way. A wave of annoyance washed over Kate's face, and even though I'd only known her a few days, I was pretty sure there was a lot of determination and independence to her. How long are you just going to stand there and watch me struggle? She asked, placing her hands on her hips and cocking her head to the side. I knew we'd discussed being adults and forgetting about the other night, but damn if she wasn't sexy, even when she was a little mad. Well, I didn't want to question your capabilities and what sort of contortions you could twist your body into to reach that box. I smirked, raising an eyebrow at her. Kate smiled and ran her fingers through her hair, and my mind flashed back to the way she pulled her dress over her body, her breasts bouncing softly with emotion. Jesus, Hunter, focus.
What is she doing here? Did she forget her underpants?
Maddie's voice snapped me out of my trance, bringing me right back down to reality. Fuck. I gave Kate an apologetic look and turned to shake my head at Maddie. No, sweetie, she didn't forget anything. This is Kate. She's our new neighbor. She's going to live in the apartment above the garage. Maddie furrowed her brow, crossing her arms with a humph.
But she was hurting you, Daddy.
I could tell by the look on her face she was close to a breakdown, and I knew I had to do something, and fast. A 4-year-old having a meltdown on your first day moving into a new apartment didn't exactly bode well for a new tenant. Remember, we talked about this. Daddy and Kate were having a special adult snuggle time. It's just not for kids. That's why Kate had to leave. Having to re-explain all that in front of Kate was embarrassing. I quickly glanced over to give her another apologetic look. Thankfully, even though she looked just as mortified as I did, she smiled weakly at me before turning to talk to Maddie.
Your daddy's right. It's something you'll learn about when you're older, Kate said calmly, leaning down and nodding her head.
Maddie made a sour face at both of us, shaking her head with another hump.
But I want to know now, she whined.
It was time to pull out the big guns. Right now isn't the time to talk about special adult snuggles. Right now, we need a big girl to help us move some of Kate's stuff into her apartment. If you can't be a big girl, then I guess you'll just have to go inside and sit by yourself, I said in my calmest voice. Maddie's face fell, and she then quickly perked back up.
Nope, I'm a big girl. I can help.
With a determined look on her face, she marched over to the back of the van and stuck her arms out to carry something. Crisis averted, for the moment. The three of us spent the next half hour walking boxes from the van up to Kate's apartment, being sure to give Maddie the lightest objects that would still make her feel involved. Kate didn't have that much stuff after all. It just looked like a lot piled into the back of the van. But once it was all sitting in the living room of the apartment I'd spent the past couple years remodeling and making just right, I liked the idea of someone filling the space with life. There were potted plants drinking of the sun in the front windows and kitchen gadgets on the counters. Once everything was unloaded from the van, I set Maddie up in her room with a book for her 45 minutes of quiet time. She'd started outgrowing naps a few months ago, but I'd found that giving her some downtime, especially after an eventful day, kept her from having meltdowns in the late afternoon. I sat on the edge of Maddie's bed and smoothed her hair over her ear. "I'll be right back, okay, Mads? I just need to go give Kate the keys to her apartment. And do my best not to think about her naked." Maddie furrowed her brow.
"Are you going to have another special adult snuggle time?"
I sighed. "You can't get anything past this kid."
"No, sweetie, we won't do that again. I'm just going to talk to her. I'll be right back."
I placed a kiss on Maddie's forehead and left her room before she could ask any more questions about that damn adult snuggle time. I had a feeling that impulsive turn of phrase was going to haunt me until she graduated from college. Grabbing the keys to Kate's apartment from a bowl in the kitchen, I quickly checked my reflection in the hallway mirror before walking over. We might not ever get busy again, but I couldn't deny my attraction to Kate. I smoothed the messy hair I'd yet to style today and walked through the door, ready to finally talk to my new neighbor without my daughter's eagle-eyed observation. When I arrived at Kate's entrance, the door was slightly ajar, so I knocked lightly before gently pushing it open. "Kate?" I called, stepping through the door. "I just wanted to swing by to drop off your keys and see if you need anything."
"Be there in a sec,"
her voice came from the bedroom, accompanied by the sound of boxes sliding across the hardwood floor. Shutting the door behind me, I wandered into the living room, where Kate had already begun assembling a bookshelf and sorting boxes. Before I could take a peek at what kind of books she liked, she came walking around the corner, her face flushed, tiny beads of sweat on her forehead.
"Thanks for dropping off the keys. I would have completely forgotten about them and all the chaos of moving."
She chuckled and wiped her forehead with the back of her hand. The combination of her flushed appearance and slightly out-of-breath voice took me right back to that night at my place, her voluptuous body pressing into mine, her lips on my skin. I could feel a stirring behind my zipper, so I promptly wandered around the room, nervous that she might notice the action in my pants and take it the wrong way. Not that I didn't want her to think I was interested, but the last thing I wanted was to seem like a creepy landlord preying on his latest tenant.
"No worries," I said lightly, walking over to the bookshelf. "It looks like you've been busy. I'm impressed."
I turned and flashed her a smile while gesturing to the newly assembled bookshelf, and I could have sworn she blushed a little.
"Well, when you live alone, you have to be able to take care of yourself," she replied, raising a playfully arched brow.
She walked to the opposite end of the bookshelf, and I couldn't help feeling like we were circling each other, testing the physical boundaries of our new dynamic. I took a step toward her.
"I don't doubt that you're more than capable. But know that if you ever need anything, I'm always available."
"Careful. Anything is a pretty big offer." Her mouth twisted into a coy smile.
"I mean it. Anything."
I held her gaze for a few seconds longer than appropriate. "God, what I wouldn't give to just push you up against that wall right now." Kate smiled and chuckled softly before turning away and tucking her hair behind her ear. Maybe I'd gone too far, but I meant it. Even if our connection wasn't serious, I was already feeling a little protective of her. She was a single woman, and if she needed a man for a job, something inside me wanted to be that man. Running my fingers over the top of the bookshelf, I let my gaze wander over the boxes scattered throughout the room. Books, kitchen supplies, knickknacks.
"Whoa."
"Wow," I said, as I locked on a much larger box in a corner of the room.
"You have a huge vinyl collection."
I walked toward it, my eyes growing larger by the second.
"You're into vinyl?"
she asked, a smile spreading across her face.
"Big time. Do you mind if I take a look?"
"Be my guest." When I reached the box, I bent over and began thumbing through her records, all housed in pristine sleeves. I'd already thought that Kate was cool and sexy, but this was taking it to a whole new level. Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, The Beatles. You've got all the classics, I said, unable to hide the surprise and admiration in my voice. I couldn't believe that Kate liked music this much, or that our taste in music was so similar. She joined me in front of the box. I started collecting them when I was 16. Once I got into it, I couldn't really stop. It's a little out of hand, she chuckled, rolling her eyes. No, this is amazing. Like, really fucking cool. I was so floored I didn't have it in me to be articulate. Paul Simon? I love this album. I turned to look at her with wide eyes, shaking my head in disbelief. If you want to borrow any of them, you're welcome to. Normally, I keep my obsession with records to myself, but now that you know, I guess the cat's out of the bag, or the album's out of the sleeve in this instance, so you're more than welcome. And if you ever want to come by for a listen, I'm only a short walk away. Yeah, of course, that would be great. Maddie loves this stuff, too. Shit, nothing like bringing up your kid to kill the mood. Maybe a little dance party will help her warm up to me. Kate gave me a crooked smile. Nah, she likes you just fine. She's just adjusting. That's one way of putting it. Well, I just hope she's not scarred for life, Kate said. We both chuckled awkwardly, and I struggled to keep myself from picturing Kate naked for the 10th time today. She'll be fine, I said, placing the record back in the box. That reminds me, I should probably get going. Maddie's quiet time is ending soon, and she'll be upset if I'm not back when she comes out. That, and if I stayed in Kate's apartment any longer, I wasn't fully confident I'd be able to avoid making a move on her. Right, of course. Thanks for stopping by, she said, walking me to the door. As I stepped outside, I turned to wave awkwardly before turning the corner around the garage, my heart beating fast. Kate waved back, smiling softly, and shut the door. Back at my house, I had about 10 minutes left before Maddie came barreling out of her room, insisting that she didn't need quiet time anymore. I took the few minutes of silence to collect my thoughts. I could already tell that I was in trouble when it came to this woman. No matter how badly I wanted to forget what happened between us, every time I was around her, I couldn't keep my mind from wandering to the sight of her naked body, the feel of her slick warmth around me. And that vinyl collection? It wasn't helping anything either. She was sexy and interesting, and living mere yards away from me. I had to find a solution to all this pent-up sexual energy, and fast.
Chapter 5. The air conditioner in the apartment had decided to die on me on the hottest day of the year so far. Worse, I was struggling to pull off the tape I'd used to roll up my gray shag rug. I'd moved in my things a few days ago, but between writing my column and several long meetings with my editor, I'd barely even been in the apartment, never mind unpacking everything. Now, after an afternoon of rearranging furniture and unpacking boxes in the heat, I was sweating like I'd just run a marathon. I'd stayed motivated by telling myself I could have a cocktail once I got everything done, because I was definitely going to need one. I didn't do well in heat. The only place I liked to get this hot and sweaty was in the bedroom. Despite the setback with the air conditioner, I was excited about the way the apartment was coming together. I hated to admit it, but I was starting to appreciate suburban life. It was so quiet out here, and I was getting the best sleep of my life. Maybe I was just getting old and boring, but watching the little ducks splash around in the backyard pond was my new favorite hobby. It was a great apartment, and if I could just get it all unpacked, I'd finally be settled. There was only one way to deal with this situation if I didn't want to melt into a puddle. I stripped off my soaking wet t-shirt and shorts, opting to unpack in my bra and panties, and splashed some cold water on my face. I dug my portable speaker out from the bottom of a box and put on my happy playlist. I'd never lived in my own place before, but I had a feeling I was going to like it, especially if it meant I could hang out in my underwear listening to Bruno Mars anytime I wanted. I looked out the window between the shades and noticed Hunter's car in the driveway. I hadn't seen him since our last awkward encounter, when Maddie had first realized that the random woman she'd caught straddling her dad had moved in. We'd ended the night normally enough, but I still felt uncomfortable about the whole thing. He and I had almost had a run-in the other day as I was getting in my car to meet my editor, but I'd pretended not to see him. I told myself I wasn't avoiding him. I'd just been busy and hadn't had time to make small talk. As if on cue, Hunter stepped out his front door carrying a trash bag, and I jumped away from my window, my heart racing. Okay, so maybe I was avoiding him, but it seemed like I couldn't be around this guy without making a fool of myself, so I wasn't exactly in a rush to see him. Uptown Funk came on, and I grinned. This was the perfect song to make me forget all the drama with Hunter. Yes, I knew it was overplayed, but I still loved it, and I couldn't sit still when it came on. I might be a 30-year-old woman, but I still knew how to get down. I was just getting into the chorus, doing my best reenactment of the music video and holding up a wooden spoon as a microphone, when I heard a voice behind me. I spun around, mid-hip thrust, and saw Hunter standing in the doorway. We stared at each other for a moment as he took in the scene. And that scene wasn't a flattering one. I was in a basic white cotton bra and a pair of neon green boy shorts with penguins all over them. "Oh my God!" I shouted as Hunter stood gaping. I dove for my t-shirt. "Shit, I'm sorry," he said, turning to look at the wall as I pulled my shirt on. I didn't realize the door was open. He trailed off, standing uncomfortably as I snatched up my shorts. Seriously? This was the second time I'd had to rush to put my clothes on in front of Hunter in the past week. It was hot, so I opened the door. I guess I forgot about it, I said, mortified and trying to ignore my flaming cheeks. I couldn't have embarrassed myself more in front of him if I'd tried.
Sorry, he said again, once the music was off. I was coming by to check on the AC unit. It tends to blow its fuse on really hot days like this.
Yeah, I noticed. I fanned my sweaty face. I was still recovering from the shock, but I managed to put on a smile. But thanks for coming to check on it. My last landlord would have let me die of heat exhaustion before fixing anything.
No worries, Hunter smiled. I know it can get pretty hot up here. Do you mind if I take a look at it?
Of course. I gestured toward the fuse box on the wall. He unplugged the air conditioner, flipped a few switches, then bent down to plug the air conditioner in. It immediately hummed back to life. I grinned as cold air breezed past me. That was amazing. I made eye contact with Hunter, and my stomach did a somersault. I usually wear clothes, I added quickly, hoping my face wasn't as red as it felt. But it was hot, so, you know. And then that song came on.
Jesus, Kate, stop talking.
He laughed.
Don't worry about it. It's my fault for just walking in. I should have called first.
So, I said, desperate for a subject change. How's Maddie?
She's good.
He smiled, and his eyes lit up like they did every time he talked about his daughter. Even though I wasn't a kid person, I had to admit it was pretty adorable.
She's watching a movie in my bed.
I raised an eyebrow. So she kicked you out? He laughed.
Pretty much. She's very persuasive.
In that case, do you want to stay and have a beer? He glanced out the window. It's okay if you can't leave Maddie alone, I said, but he stopped me.
No, she'll be fine for a few minutes. A beer would be great, actually.
I motioned for him to take a seat on the couch while I went to grab two beers from the fridge. If we were really going to be on good terms, I'd need to spend some time getting to know Hunter the person, not the panty dropper I'd met at a bar. Although, with how good he looked in his casual jeans and t-shirt, that was going to be easier said than done. I handed him a beer, and he took a long swig. Long day at work? I asked. He swallowed.
Is it obvious?
You look a little tense, that's all.
So she's beautiful and perceptive, he said,
and my heart skipped a beat. I looked down at my beer bottle, suddenly at a loss for words. Still, I could think of a few things I'd like to do with Hunter, and most of them didn't require clothing. So, I said, eager to get my mind onto a safe topic. What's new in transportation?
Nothing exciting. He smiled and took another swig. We've just been trying to meet this deadline, and it's not going well. But seriously, you don't want to hear about it. Even I'm bored by it.
Okay, so what's new in life? Any girl drama?
I paused, realizing what I was saying, then added sheepishly, well, other than me. After a beat of silence, we both laughed, and relief washed over me. It seemed like we were finally moving past the awkwardness of that situation.
Not much else. You pretty much took the cake on that one.
Still laughing, I said, it wasn't my finest moment.
At least you'll never forget what you did on your 30th birthday.
He grinned. Thank God I'll always have that memory to cherish. Still grinning, he ran a hand through his dark hair. I watched him, trying not to get distracted by those expressive eyes and how perfect his full lips and straight white teeth looked when he smiled. I'd never gotten turned on by a guy's lips before, but something about Hunter's made it impossible not to think about kissing him. I was too aware of how close we were, close enough that I could easily swing my leg over to straddle him. I struggled to keep my breathing even as I imagined his hands grabbing my hips, pulling me closer as I rocked against him. It didn't help that I knew exactly how good he felt, could still feel his hands on my skin, his mouth possessing me. Fuck. Luckily, Hunter interrupted my thoughts before things got too dirty.
What about you? He asked. What's the latest celebrity gossip?
That's privileged information. I smiled coyly. It wasn't really, but I didn't think he'd be interested in hearing about who Jennifer Aniston was dating.
Okay, let me guess. Taylor Swift has a new boyfriend, and Justin Bieber embarrassed himself at a club.
I snorted.
Am I close?
Grinning, he took another sip of his beer. I didn't peg you for the kind of guy who's up to date on celebrity gossip. I laughed.
I have a daughter. She's only 4, but somehow she knows everything.
I grinned. That's impressive. Maybe I should hire her to be my assistant.
She'd be in here telling you how to write your column on the first day.
I laughed and took another sip of beer, feeling like the heat had turned up again in the room. I couldn't deny it, though. The butterflies were definitely still there, despite my best efforts to keep things platonic. I'd never felt like this before around a guy, especially after the way our hookup had gone. In fact, even when things went well with a guy, I usually got bored with them after a week or two. Then again, neither of us got to finish that night, so maybe I was just recovering from the lady version of blue balls. In a few weeks, the tension would ease, and hopefully I wouldn't be imagining jumping into bed with him every 5 minutes.
I should probably get back and make sure Maddie hasn't set the house on fire.
He stood up and stretched, and his shirt lifted just enough for me to sneak a look at his hard-as-rock abs. I bit my lip. No, Kate. I mentally slapped myself. This was exactly the kind of thing I needed to stop thinking about. Too bad I could still remember how those abs felt under my hands as I rode him. See you around, I smiled, trying to pretend I wasn't remembering what his cock felt like inside me, and walked him to the door.
Thanks for the beer, he said, then added with a sly grin, and let me know if you need anything up here. Judging by what I saw earlier, you seem to be having a pretty good time so far.
I slapped his shoulder and snorted a laugh. You're not allowed to tell anyone about that.
Okay, my lips are sealed.
He smirked before heading down the stairs. Once he'd left, I collapsed on the couch, trying to recover from the roller coaster ride that was my attraction to Hunter. But it was nice to know we could have fun together without getting horizontal. I resolved to work even harder to keep our relationship strictly landlord and tenant. After all, I was a classic commitment phobe. I couldn't even commit to a cat or a signature lipstick color. What did I think I was doing fantasizing about getting involved with a guy who had a kid? I wasn't committed to being a stable role model for his daughter. And it wouldn't be fair to him or her to blur the lines in our relationship, especially when things inevitably went south. As much as I wanted to tear my clothes off and finish what we'd started the week before, I'd have to keep it PG, no matter how cute and helpful Hunter was.
Chapter 6.
No, no, no. There's no way I'm letting you wear that on a date, Kate said, crossing her arms and shaking her head. I just walked out of my bedroom to show her what I'd thought was a reasonable outfit for a casual, let's start with drinks and see where this goes kind of date. But based on the horrified look on her face, I was dead wrong. What's wrong with this? I asked, gesturing at my khaki pants and blue plaid shirt. I wouldn't have gone so far as to call myself a style expert, but I didn't think this outfit was that bad. Kate's eyebrows shot straight up, her eyes growing wide with disapproval. Khakis? She exclaimed. For drinks? They're nice, I said defensively, brushing the front of my pants with my palms. Kate softened for a moment, uncrossing her arms and sighing. They are nice, she said, leaning forward from her spot on the couch to take another sip of her glass of wine. If you're going to church on a Sunday and a picnic afterward, but you're going on a date, I beg of you, go try again. She nodded authoritatively, scrunching her brows together in a determined look. Fine, I muttered, turning to head back up the stairs. But I had to admit a part of me was getting a kick out of this, recalling the way she'd called me out on my cheesy pickup lines that night at the bar. Go put some jeans on, dark wash, please, she called after me as I rounded the corner to my bedroom. And nothing too baggy, she called again. Unbuttoning my shirt, I couldn't help but smile and shake my head at how comfortable Kate was bossing me around. We'd only been neighbors for a couple of weeks, but it felt like we'd known each other for years. Even if things between us had a rocky start, it was nice having another adult around to share a drink with. Just having someone to talk and laugh with made the house seem not too quiet. The only slight hiccup was Maddie. It wasn't that she didn't like Kate, but she was still suspicious about the whole special adult snuggle time thing, something we had to tread lightly around. Tonight, however, Maddie was with her grandparents, most likely getting spoiled out of her mind. When it was clear Maddie's mom wasn't going to be a part of the picture, I made sure to move the two of us closer to my parents. Honestly, having them on hand was a godsend. I loved my life with Maddie and wouldn't trade our time together for the world, but the fact is, I needed backup reinforcement sometimes, no matter how much I might like attending tea parties and wearing tiaras. Standing in front of my open closet, I pushed some shirts around on their hangers, looking for something more suitable for drinks. After tossing a pair of dark jeans on the bed, I continued rummaging around in my closet, finally landing on a gray sweater. I quickly changed into the new outfit and returned to the living room, ready to be playfully insulted by Kate all over again. I walked out in front of the couch to find her waiting for me with her wine glass in hand. Smiling, I raised a curious eyebrow, and she quickly set the glass down on the coffee table in front of her. Before I could say anything remotely teasing, she stood with a high-pitched squeal, clapping her hands and nodding with approval. "Look at you! This is perfect! The jeans are great, and that sweater?" Kate's gaze slid over my pecs and shoulders, her expression shifting just enough for me to feel a slight jolt of electricity between us. "It's great," she said quickly, snapping her eyes up to mine and forcing a smile. "Glad to see you approve," I smirked. She laughed and swatted my arm with the back of her hand. Even as she settled back into her seat on the couch, seemingly casual and unfazed, I could still feel the spark between us. "Hey, your phone buzzed while you were changing. I didn't check to see who it was, no matter how nosy I wanted to be." She raised her eyebrows, a devious smile spreading across her face. "One more glass of wine and you'll be hacking into my phone in a heartbeat." I picked up my phone and typed in my passcode. It was a text from Heather, the woman I was supposed to be meeting for drinks in 30 minutes, telling me a work emergency had come up and she wouldn't be able to make it on our date after all. I sighed. "Well, I hope you don't have plans for the rest of the night. My date canceled, and there's no way I'm wasting a kid-free night." Kate's face fell, then quickly changed to something angrier. "What the hell?" she said, rising to her feet. "She's just ghosting on you minutes before the date?" In fairness, I'm pretty sure ghosting is when you just stop responding to someone out of the blue.
At least she had the courtesy to let me know this was over before it started. I grabbed my glass of wine from the coffee table and took a seat on the couch. Kate's angry expression morphed to one of outrage. "Why don't you seem surprised or mad?" She paced around the living room while gesturing at me emphatically. "Because I'm not," I said between sips of wine. It wouldn't be the first time a date pre-screened me on social media and learned I was a dad. That's why sometimes it's better to make these things a little more spur of the moment, like picking someone up at a bar. "That's bullshit," she scoffed, plopping herself down on the opposite couch cushion, her brow furrowed in frustration. "So, you think she canceled because you have a kid?" "Maybe, maybe not. But it happens more often than you'd think. Wait a second. Isn't that your hang-up, too?" I gave her a quizzical look. "Well, no. I'm not looking for anything serious." She stumbled over her words, obviously flustered by my question. "With anyone," she added, more to herself than to me. I gave her a disbelieving look. "So you're telling me that if I wanted to have a fling with you, purely sexual, no strings attached, you'd be game?" As I spoke, I leaned toward her on the couch, aware again of that spark crackling between us. She stared at me wide-eyed for a moment before blinking. "You and I are both old enough to know that that would be a terrible idea." I held her gaze for a moment longer, memories from that first night we met flashing through my mind. Maybe she was right. Maybe a casual fling with my new tenant was a terrible idea. And yet, maybe it was exactly what we both needed. I stood and picked up our empty wine glasses. Casual sex or not, I just got stood up for a date, and that can only mean one thing. "What's that?" she asked, crossing one perfectly sculpted leg over the other. "It's time to order takeout." Two more glasses of wine and one large pizza with mushrooms and olives later, Kate and I found ourselves sitting at my kitchen table, tears streaming down our faces as we laughed. "You did not," she said, her face red, wiping a tear from the corner of her eye. What else was I supposed to do? Maddie had pooped her pants, we were in the middle of a forest, and in my rush to get us out the door for our nature day, I'd forgotten to pack her an extra pair of clothes. I waved my hands in surrender. It was the old, "my daughter shit her pants, so I had to tie a t-shirt around her waist like a loincloth for the rest of our hike" story. Not one I was usually able to whip out on a first date. "You're unbelievable," Kate said through giggles, shaking her head and swirling the wine in her glass. Her cheeks were rosy from the laughter and the wine, and her hair had fallen loosely around her shoulders, slightly tousled now that she was sufficiently tipsy. I'd known she was a bombshell from the moment I saw her at the bar all those nights ago, but in this moment, she wasn't just hot, she was beautiful. "So tell me, Kate," I said, cocking my head to the side and squinting at her slightly. "How'd a girl like you end up living above my garage? Did you dump some poor bastard and leave him to fend for himself in the uptown loft you used to share?" It was definitely the wine making me bold, asking the questions I'd been keeping to myself for weeks. She smiled and shook her head. "No, it wasn't anything so exciting or dramatic, for me at least. My roommate just got engaged, and it turns out newly engaged couples don't really want another roommate around to cock-block them all the time." I nodded. "That makes sense, I guess. So there really isn't anyone you were leaving behind? You're just a commitment phobe through and through?" "Well, I wouldn't call myself a commitment phobe, although my friends probably would," she replied with a shrug. Leaning back in my chair, I crossed my arms and gave her a long, measured look. "Sounds lonely," I said, my tone dropping. "That's what bars are for." She arched an eyebrow and gave me a knowing look. "Touché." We sat in silence for a while, watching each other with soft, curious eyes. The more I learned about this woman, the more I wanted to know, but I still couldn't tell exactly where it was all headed. "I should probably get going," she said with a sigh, glancing over at the clock hanging on the wall behind me. I turned to check the time, surprised to see it was nearly midnight. Damn, it was later than I expected. Well, thanks for helping me pick out my clothes, even if the date was a bust, I said as we both stood and Kate gathered her things.
Anytime, she replied, slinging her purse strap over her shoulder. Sorry again that bitch stood you up.
Nah, I don't think she's a bitch. Just afraid of starting something that might get too real. Kate looked at me, surprised.
I can't tell if that's insightful or if we're both just drunk.
We laughed as we walked to the front door where Kate paused before opening it.
I had a really nice time tonight, she said, looking down at her feet and tucking her hair behind her ear.
When she looked up at me, our eyes locked. That energy crackled between us again, and suddenly I couldn't ignore it anymore. Taking her cheek in the palm of my hand, I pulled her face to mine, our lips meeting in a deep, slow, sensual kiss. When we parted, she didn't respond for a second, the look on her face communicating that she was clearly taken aback. Keeping my hand on her cheek, I stared into her eyes, searching for a sign that she wanted this too. Without a word, she dropped her purse to the floor and wrapped her arms around me, pressing her body into mine. I took her mouth again, deepening the kiss when she parted her lips for me. My hands landed on her hips, relishing their soft and supple shape, while her hands wandered over the back of my neck, her fingers threading through my hair. A small moan escaped her as I moved my knee between her legs, feeling the heat straight through my jeans. My cock responded with a twitch, aching to be free, to be inside her again, to finish what we started. I dug my fingers into her skin, wishing I could rip off the layers of denim between us. Our tongues moved faster and more urgently, and our breathing grew heavy. Every inch of my body felt electric around her, and when we kissed, it was like turning the energy all the way up. Suddenly, she broke away, stepping back to leave a full foot of space between our bodies. For a moment, we both stood there, breathing heavily, watching each other with wide, searching eyes.
I have to go, she stammered, then picked her purse up off the floor, quickly opened the door, and marched out, closing it behind her.
I could hear her footsteps as she made her way up the stairs, the sound of the door to her apartment opening and closing. I stood in the doorway for a moment, my mind still charged with the electricity of that kiss. Once I'd caught my breath and my mind stopped racing, I walked back into the kitchen and began the process of cleaning up. As I stood over the sink, rinsing the wine glasses, I thought about the look on Kate's face right before she ran out the door. Was it shock? Was it the look of someone who wanted more but knew she shouldn't? I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know where this was going, but the one thing I did know, I wanted to do that again and finish what we started.
Chapter 7. I quickly ran a brush through my hair and checked my teeth for lipstick stains before running out the door. I had to go into the city for a meeting with my editor this morning, which I was dreading. He'd already been on my case all week about finishing my column, and the last thing I needed was to be late. I'd been so distracted by moving and unpacking that I'd had a hard time sitting down to get work done. And if I was being honest, my attraction to Hunter wasn't helping one bit. After our kiss, I'd been so hot and bothered that I'd tossed and turned all night. The more I thought about it, the more I wanted to throw caution to the wind and see where this attraction would take us. After last night, the idea of giving in to the temptation of Hunter was too powerful to resist. Why not take a risk? He'd said so himself. It didn't have to lead to anything serious. We were both adults who had needs. And besides, I was never one to leave unfinished business. Distracted, I weighed my options throughout my meeting. It was hard to focus on anything but Hunter's proposition. Had he been serious? Would he really want a casual fling? But my meeting went smoothly, and I took it as a good omen. That night, after I'd showered and changed, I decided to stop by Hunter's place to talk to him for a few minutes. It had become part of my ritual, and one I looked forward to. As I swiped on some mascara, it occurred to me that he might have only made that comment about us casually hooking up because of the wine, or because he'd just been stood up. Maybe it sounded good in theory, but when it came down to it, he might decide he wasn't interested enough to muddy the waters of our relationship. Annoyed at how my hand holding the mascara wand trembled, I put aside the mascara and took a deep breath. Calm down, I told myself. This was so not like me. I never sat around wondering what a guy thought about me. In the past, when things didn't work out with someone, I always knew it was for the best. Knew that I was moving on to the next chapter of my life, and did so with no regret. In fact, I considered it a point of pride that I'd never had my heart broken. I'd never been the kind of woman who was afraid to say what she thought, or worried what a man thought about her, and I didn't intend to start now. With new determination, I took a deep breath and pulled on my sandals. Pausing before I walked out the door, I hoped I was doing the right thing. Hunter opened on the first knock. I was still taken aback by how sexy he looked every time I saw him, and tonight was no exception. Hi, I said, smiling.
Hey, Kate, what's up?
I sucked in a breath as I looked into his sexy dark eyes and watched as a smile transformed his face. I was about to open my mouth and spill everything I'd been thinking, but then Maddie's head popped around the door. Oh, it's her, she said, turning to go back inside with a frown.
Maddie,
Hunter said in a warning tone, but she'd already walked away. He turned back to me with an apologetic smile.
Sorry about that. Is everything okay?
My smile faltered. I was such an idiot. Why did I think I could just barge in here and blurt out my feelings? Obviously, Maddie was home. I needed to get it together. I was letting my desire for Hunter cloud all rational thought. Hey, I grinned, changing gears. I just wanted to come down and ask if you'd be in for an after-work drink later tonight.
I would, but we're kind of in the middle of a dilemma over here, he said, gesturing inside.
Is everything okay? Horrified, I frowned. Not only had I made a mess of this whole thing, but now I'd interrupted some kind of family emergency. Awesome.
No, sorry. Nothing like that. I didn't mean to sound dramatic. It's more of a kitchen emergency than an actual emergency.
He laughed, and my stomach did a little flip of relief. I'm gluten-free now. Maddie had come back, holding a cookbook. But he doesn't know how to make anything. She pointed up at Hunter, who laughed.
I've suggested at least 5 things, and you don't want any of them, he said, half amused, half exasperated.
He shot me a pleading look. They all sounded bad. The little girl wrinkled her nose. She was actually quite cute when she wasn't throwing daggers at me with her eyes. I could see the resemblance to her father, with her dark eyes fringed in darker lashes, and soft brown hair that couldn't decide if it wanted to curl or lay straight. I'm actually gluten-free, too, I said, hoping that maybe I could be useful for once. I could help you guys. I cook all the time.
That would be amazing,
Hunter said quickly, the relief on his face obvious.
We've been going back and forth like this for an hour.
Maddie gave him a skeptical look, but didn't say anything. Hunter motioned me inside, and I followed them to the kitchen, where a bag of groceries sat on the counter.
I got a bunch of gluten-free stuff, he said, pulling a random assortment of items from the bag.
We looked it over. There was gluten-free spaghetti, a few potatoes, and a bag of quinoa. I raised an eyebrow at him. That was it?
I have no idea what I'm doing, he admitted.
Don't worry, I said, looking through what he'd bought. I have a plan.
Do what you need to do.
He put his hands up.
I'll owe you big time. Anything you want, it's yours.
I pulled things out of the cupboards and arranged them on the counter, coming up with a recipe as I went. I knew how difficult it could be to cook meals that were gluten-free, and I was impressed that Maddie was willing to try something new. Secretly, I hoped cooking for them would score me points with both Hunter and Maddie. As I was searching their cabinet for honey, I realized they were staring at me.